What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Steven Nelkovsky is the chief executive officer at Perth Baseball. They're a baseball team based out of Australia that is going on to the Bitcoin standard. It's an incredible story. I really enjoyed talking to Steven, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode as well. Before we get into it, though, I want to first talk about our sponsors. Today's episode is sponsored by the Bitcoin 2022 conference. Bitcoin 2022 is the largest Bitcoin event in the world that takes place April 6th through the 9th in Miami Beach, Florida. All 4 days will be jam-packed with exclusive content, exciting announcements, and an incredible lineup of Bitcoin speakers, artists, and leaders. Day one is industry day for enterprising Bitcoiners who are looking to build a business or career within the ecosystem. Days two and three are general conference days featuring speakers like El Salvador President Nayib Bukele, CEOs like Michael Saylor, Elizabeth Stark, Jack Maulers, Adam Back, and hundreds more. The conference caps off on the fourth day with the world's first and largest Bitcoin music festival, Sound Money Fest, headlined by rapper and fellow Bitcoiner Logic, featuring artists K-Flay, Mo, Royal, and The Serpent, Apache, Asadi, and more. Stay tuned for the upcoming lineup announcement. Last year's conference sold out, and this year's is on pace to be 3 times larger, so make sure you grab your tickets before it's too late. Visit b.tc/conference to learn more. Again, that's b.tc/conference to learn more. Ticket prices increase on January 14th. Use promo code POMP for 10% off, and I will see you in Miami. Today's episode is brought to you by Fundrise. You all know I believe that the best investors both understand and seek out extreme asymmetry. Fundrise is here to help you do just that. It's the largest direct-to-investor real estate investment platform out there, giving you the opportunity to achieve upside of an asset class previously reserved for institutions and high net worth individuals. That's right. Fundrise is making high-end private market real estate investing accessible to everyone via an easy-to-use automated platform. Its 1 million users already know that the investment with Fundrise is capable of producing strong appreciation returns and income generation while helping to stabilize a diversified portfolio. That's more important now than ever in our inflationary environment. See for yourself how over 190,000 other investors have built a better portfolio with private real estate. It takes just a few minutes to get started with as little as $10. Go to fundrise.com/pomp today, and for a limited time, you'll get $10 when you place your first investment. Again, that's fundrise.com/pomp. Go check it out, and when you make your first investment, they'll give you $10 on top of it. fundrise.com/pomp. Today's episode is brought to you by Brave. Brave Wallet is the first secure crypto wallet built natively in a Web3 crypto browser. What's Web3? Web3 is freedom from big tech and Wall Street, more control and better privacy. But there's a weak point in Web3, your crypto wallet. Most wallets are browser extensions, a Web2 technology. That means the same old risks, app spoofing, phishing scams, and theft. Brave Wallet is different. Brave Wallet is the first secure wallet built natively in a Web3 crypto browser. No extension required. With Brave Wallet, you can buy, store, send, and swap assets, manage NFTs, even connect other wallets and dApps, all from the security of the best privacy browser on the market. Whether you're new to crypto or a seasoned pro, it's time to ditch those risky extensions. It's time to switch to Brave Wallet. Download Brave at brave.com/pomp and click the wallet icon to get started. Again, go download Brave at brave.com/pomp and click the wallet icon to get started. All right, let's get in this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Bitcoin standard for the baseball team. Let's just start there. Remind everyone kind of what you guys are doing, and then we'll get into topics.
Well, it's moving so fast, so much is happening. So we launched on November 17, that were the first team in world sport to be integrating Bitcoin and operating on a Bitcoin standard. And then unfortunately the season was shut down.
That was because of the weather, because
COVID.
Of COVID?
COVID, okay. Border restrictions, travel restrictions within Australia. So
wow,
we weren't able to get a team into Perth without them needing to quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel.
I mean, that's kind of dumb. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that to you or you're supposed to comment, but like that feels stupid.
Yeah, it's been difficult. We've had a whole
difficult
season.
That's difficult. A better way to talk about it.
All right, here we go.
We're working with the government, so we'll just play the right line here at the moment. All but right. It's been difficult. But then we reset for a secondary season, mm-hmm. and that got shut down as well. So finally on March the 3rd next week, our state will reopen to the rest of the country.
It's been closed for 2 years, basically?
The best part of it. It's been,
wow.
Travel in and out unless you're the Prime Minister or a high-ranking government official.
Some people don't have to quarantine.
Or part of the best business show, then you just can't get in.
We definitely are not invited. who was it? There was a bank, I think it might have been Jamie Dimon. I can't remember who it is. Somebody, one of the big bank CEOs, he went to a number of different places and he flew in, flew out, and there was no quarantine going on. And everyone's like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, he has special, he got a special pass, blah, blah, whatever. And it's like, well, how do I get the special pass?
There's been a few of those special passes handing around. I think the
rules for thee, not for me.
Exactly. Yes. But through that, we still managed to open up the ballpark on a couple of occasions and accept Bitcoin payments at our concession stands. Mm-hmm. So things like movie nights, and they're really good test run for us to be able to buy beer with Bitcoin, buy hot dogs with Bitcoin, merchandise with Bitcoin, and that worked really well on the Lightning Network. Through Open Node, there were certainly some issues that we found as we went through that process, but it was great then to go back to Open Node, our payment processor, and say, look, we don't want all the contractors who are coming and operating these concession stands to have our two-factor identification. So we need to now work on that and improve that system.
So it's almost like permissioning and all sorts of different things where you guys want almost a master account, then there's vendor accounts. These are the operational components of actually doing this. It sounds great, everyone can pay with Bitcoin, but you in some degree, and it's a bearer asset, right? So all of a sudden, if I pay my Bitcoin to the vendor, the vendor's like, see ya. A little bit different, right, than the legacy financial system.
I don't want to be standing over their shoulder with Patrick down at other concession stands. So it certainly was something that we discovered early on that we need our Perth Heat account, but then we need accounts for our concession stands as well. So we worked through that and that will be better place to operate next season. It was interesting when I went to crypto.com arena last week.
Mm,
I went
to lights.
I saw the ice hockey, the Kings on the Tuesday night and then the Lakers on the Wednesday night. And I went to purchase some merchandise and I said, can I pay in Bitcoin? And they said, sorry?
Oh, interesting. So
I said, I'd like to pay in Bitcoin. And they said, would you like a Bitcoin shirt?
Interesting.
I said, no, just Bitcoin. So obviously they're not set at the moment to take any sort of Bitcoin or...
And I wonder how much of that is the arena, the sponsor, right? Are the issues there or is it the actual individual vendors? Because in some of those really large arenas, I do wonder, are they all using the same payment system or does each vendor basically, hey, you're using Square's, point of sale system, somebody else is using something else and they're not connected. I don't know what the answer to that is.
No, there'd be so many different operations throughout a venue like crypto.com arena. But if you're investing $700 million into a naming rights, I personally thought there may have been some integration with it.
Maybe it's coming, but as of right now on the ground, not possible.
Not possible. And then it gets you thinking, well, if they're crypto.com arena, are they just going to be accepting shit coins? And then how many can they accept? Because that opens up a whole new issue in the accounting. Yeah, if you buy one shit coin or use one shit coin, it goes just how do you work that out over 20,000 people using your arena on the one night?
John would go and buy hot dogs with Shibu. Shibu, you know?
I'd have to get some first.
Right. But I do think it's interesting, as you guys are getting deeper and deeper into this, you're starting to realize some of the operational, some are complexities, some are opportunities, right? And so when people go to buy, let's say a hot dog, a shirt, whatever, in your stadium, is it just you're having a QR code? Do you have an actual physical device? What are you guys doing to make the user experience, just more efficient and effective?
Well, the Lightning Network's instant, so phone with a QR code and payments processed.
And you're basically just doing, you're literally generating the Lightning kind of invoice right there on a device, able to just scan it, just like I would do a peer-to-peer type transaction, and then you guys got it.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about having the ballpark and becoming a Bitcoin village is that we can educate and show how easy it is. So the next part will be introducing the ATMs into the ballpark as well. Mm-hmm. And then we'll discuss a little bit later what we're also going to do in the Bitcoin mining space.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's discuss it right now.
The ballpark, that's probably the biggest thing that's come out of it in the last 2 weeks. What we've seen is probably what we thought may have taken a little bit longer to achieve, mm-hmm. is not going to be that hard to do. So we will become the first sports venue in the world now, and we're going to mine Bitcoin at the ballpark. If we're all in, we're going to go the whole.
Yep. And where's the energy coming from? Is it just off of the grid or somewhere else?
No, we're going to install some solar panels and use that. But if you actually look at sports venues across the world, you've got these huge facilities that are sitting there doing nothing for how many days a year? 300 days a year, 320 days a year, 250 days. And they've got the footprint that we can incorporate renewable energy to then create a revenue stream which can also support the local community.
So any
revenue we raise from Bitcoin mining, that will go back into the local community, be it to help young baseballers, equipment, help with fees that they may need, or if there's teams traveling around the country and they need support instead of doing fundraising, well, here we've got the facility.
How much energy do you think, or like how many miners do you have? You guys figured out yet, like how big this could be?
It all comes down to how many supporters can we get on board. Yep. And we originally thought that potentially going with one mining company would be the best way. But you know, speaking to some leaders over the last couple of weeks while being in the United States, which I chatted to Charlie Schumacher at Marathon, visited Winstone out at the Riot facility.
Pretty
which
cool,
is
right?
Just crazy, yeah. You know, Chad Harris is an inspiring leader with what he's doing. You know, we chatted with Parker Lewis at Unchained Capital, even CK from Bitcoin Magazine, the managing director. And what we'd collectively like to do is bring all the miners into this project together. Mm-hmm. And we've got the opportunity to make this a global landmark now. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of, say, fiat ballpark or the US dollar ballpark?
No.
No, but we can go Bitcoin ballpark and we can get them all incorporated into this ballpark, and they can all have their mining stalls within the one feature.
Yep.
And it can be a great educational piece. And maybe instead of just having two or three machines, maybe we can have somewhere between 5 to 10.
Yep.
And it can really power the next generation of baseballers and the community. But more importantly, we can be the pilot program for what's possible around the world. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that can happen in 12 months or 2 years' time. We can do this in a couple of months.
Yeah.
We're ready to press play, because the quicker we start, the quicker we're helping our community. And that's what I think sometimes is lost with Bitcoin in the educational part, is how can we continue to feed other parts of our community? And if we're inspiring the next generation or supporting young kids with development programs, then fantastic. Then already the network and the community is huge and it's winning. But we're now showing every other stadium, look what can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Get onto your local governments, get onto your federal governments, and start incorporating some renewable energy that we can feed Bitcoin mining off.
Yeah. Can John come sing the national anthem?
No, you don't want that. I am curious though, on like a ground level, for your guys' vision, what does that education look like? Because that seems to be such a big part about just Bitcoin in general and getting the actual global adoption.
Yep.
What does the education on the ground level look like? Is it like a stand that you like kind of walk up to and talk about it? Is it kind of signage everywhere? What does that educational component look like for the fans and also for the players?
Yeah, so when you walk into the venue where we'll have the Bitcoin mining, that will be right in the main entrance. Okay. So people will walk in and you can't miss it. And there'll be people there and the education will start from there. Then you've got the ATM machines, and you've also got the concession payments at different stands as well. What we've got, which has been really good discussing with companies here in the US, is we've got a broadcast which we own. Now, this is really different to anything else in world sport, where you can have a broadcast which you control for 4 hours and every message can be about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And we can drop in educational pieces. If we want to cross during the bottom of the fifth to yourself, John, and speak about what's happening in the Bitcoin world in Miami, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
No one else has the ability to control the narrative throughout a broadcast, and we can put on every platform we would like as well. So again, if you guys say to us, hey, Steve, let's put the Perth Heat broadcast on the Best Business Show Twitter page, we can do that.
Yeah.
So we can have a global reach and show how sport has the ability to connect but also educate. Because as we know, sport is great in terms of inspiring. Sport is a great way to build communities, and it's also a great way to integrate globally with different supporters and fan bases. So we feel our broadcast is one of the strongest assets we have in terms of going out to the masses but also educating Bitcoin on a different level. So they don't have to go through a long rabbit hole or a deep one, but we can just say, you know what, Bitcoin is simply just a global monetary network for the internet. Mm-hmm. It allows peer-to-peer transactions. We don't have to make it any more complicated than that in terms of, just the first part of the education. And then, we can go deeper if required. But it can be a great entry level into understanding what Bitcoin is. And then if they want more, we'll have the additional sections through our website and through classes that we'll also run at the stadium as well.
Have you talked to Peter McCormick about, I'm going to call it a soccer team.
Yes.
He calls it a football team, which is, we'll disagree. What do you think about his whole strategy?
I think the more teams that do this, the better. Someone asked me this, a similar sort of question, said, are they a competitor? I said, no, I think they're a strategic partner.
Yeah.
And the more teams that we can have.
Well, you guys would definitely hopefully beat them in baseball.
I'm not sure about soccer because I'm also president of a soccer team and we're very good as well.
Yeah.
We won a couple of championships the last few years. So if Pete and Real Bedford want to take on Olympic Kingsway, the challenge is there. Let's get it
the
happening.
Bitcoin Cup. If he lost to an Australian soccer team, he would never live it down.
No, the Mighty Green Machine is where
I love you, Peter. Do not play, man. There's no upside.
Here's the challenge. I thought maybe I'd help him get to the Premier League in about 5 years' time, but maybe getting Olympic Kingsway, the Green Machine, up against McCormack. Let's go. Let's get it on. But the more companies that do it, or the more teams, the better, because we'll build then this global network of sports teams. And I know there's a lot of teams at the moment which are heavily invested in looking at how to operate on a Bitcoin standard. The Miami Marlins having a lot of conversations at the moment about integrating Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. We know the Houston Rockets have got a great educational program with NYDIG, and that's evolving. And there's some really cool plans on the table there with what they'd like to do. There's a basketball team in Australia, which Matty Dellavedova, who played in the NBA, is involved with, and he's right into it, and he's trying to integrate Bitcoin as much as he can into that organisation. So the more organisations, sports teams, then we're just building a Bitcoin league of different teams as well. And also with that, we can help educate each other as to the best practices and how do we look through the payments of players, because we've got a player who wants to be paid for 5 years upfront in Bitcoin. He has the Bitcoin mindset. Mm-hmm. What we need to work.
He wants to get paid for 5 years. He's going to take a discount on his on his salary. But he's Bitcoin. Like, give me the money now and I'll take it all in Bitcoin for my 5-year contract.
Yes, because he knows what the value of that will be in five years' time.
And will you guys do it?
We're talking through it, but this is what, we learned as to a couple of the obstacles that we need to get through. So, how will the Australian Taxation Department see that? And how will he be taxed over that period? Will they just look at it as a 1-year payment and then he's not working for the next 4 years? So that's,
Do you guys know where they'll come out on it yet? Or are you
still discussing it? So, I'd love to see him as the poster boy or a new
what
poster
a
boy. For Bitcoin. Yeah, here is the Bitcoin boy, the Bitcoin baseball boy or in so many ways, I'm all for it. I still need to convince my board.
Yeah.
He's unfortunately coming back for some injury, but.
Damn, they think he's not good?
No, I think he's good. He's a slugger. He can hit baseballs, he crunches them. So.
He needs you as his agent. He's a slugger. He's good. Rehabbing all winter.
Yeah, so it's a really exciting discussion and an
area
where.
What's the discount, can you say? What, like, over what he would be paid normally? Like, is it like a 20% discount or like more?
It's hard to know what the discount will be because how will he progress over 5 years' time as well, and what would his payment have been after 5 years? And
interesting.
Who's got the discount in the end? Who wins?
It's pretty interesting when you start to think about, you could sign a long-term contract, but there's like performance bonuses. There's all this different stuff in there. But at the end of the day, if he just says, "Hey, look, just give me some money up front, and I'll take the price risk for you guys," it's quote unquote cheaper today.
Yes.
But you do have to pay it all now, right? You're basically pulling forward, even though it's cheaper on a per year basis, you still have to pull it forward to pay today. And so, it's cash management. Like there's a bunch of complexity here that if you can figure out could be really, really beneficial, but you still got to figure it out.
Absolutely. And we always knew that once we step foot into operating on a Bitcoin standard, would we have all the answers? No.
Mm-hmm.
But if we wait, would we have all the answers? No chance. You get left behind. The quicker we do this, the better or the quicker we'll learn and the more we'll be able to educate the next sports organisation that's ready to move as well. And that's important, being able to educate more teams to come on that Bitcoin standard.
I just want you to know how smart our audience is. Somebody just posted in the chat, C. Grove said, a wise man once said, always make the money, never don't make the money.
Hard to argue with that.
Genius, yeah. Right? Like just boil it right down to make the money.
get his name. We'll get him into our commercial department.
what the team's name is Perth Heat.
Yes.
Are you going to change the name of the team? Could you change it at all or not really?
Well, somebody
said Bitcoin, the Bitcoin Bulls.
The Bitcoin Bulls. Oh, look, everything's always up for discussion depending on who the commercial partners are. Look, we fully integrate with Bitcoin. We want to work with
whoever possible.
Yeah, Bitcoin companies and continue to support the network as much as we can. We're now known as a Bitcoin baseball team. That's a really nice secondary line to support what we're doing. There's 30 years of history, and we've already tweaked the logo.
Brand awareness.
As you can see, with the Bitcoin.
No copyright with the Bitcoin logo.
No, and that was an easy hoop to get through.
What is the other one? Show the other hats real quick. So you got that one.
So that's pretty loud. Then we got something which just more generic and Bitcoin baseball.
Bitcoin
very cool.
Baseball, pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. And then down. I got this one right here.
That's the navy blue.
This is mine. There's many like it, but this one is mine. No one else is going to get that one.
There's a few here, so you're more than welcome to hand them out as you see fit throughout the course. But
I ain't giving shit to nobody.
Just tweaking the logo naturally caused some dissatisfaction against former players when you start playing. Your logo is your badge, and people start asking questions like, "There's 30 years of tradition here that you're tweaking. There's championships which we've won, and now you're playing around with a logo."
So literally just putting the Bitcoin in there, people got a little worked up.
Yeah.
And what it just previously was just like a full, it was just colored.
Yeah. And I get it. I understand it. Yeah. Your logo is pretty central to your whole organization. But I also need to make the organization better, and I need to make sure that we're the best baseball team, not only in Australia, but within Asia, over the next decade.
Do you guys go play other teams in Asia?
Oh, we will start now. Yeah. There's a real appetite to create an Asian series, bring Japanese and Korean teams over to Perth and play international tournaments at the end of the Australian season, heading into seasons.
Listen, I've seen a couple of them playing Major League Baseball. They're pretty good. Be careful.
They're incredible teams, yeah.
What is it? Ichiro, right? A legend. And then who's the guy? Joe's always tweeting about him. The guy on the Angels. The guy who's like a pitcher and hits bombs.
Otani.
Yeah, Otani, right? Yeah. Like. I think he grew up playing in which league? John, I'll find it real quick. What league did he grow up playing in?
The Japanese are phenomenal baseball players. Yeah. We've actually got a Korean team in the Australian Baseball League. So the Australian Baseball League is an international league. There's a team from New Zealand, also one from Korea. It's a really interesting model.
Americans don't know that New Zealand and Australia are different, by the way.
They're just a little island off the side,
They get confused, but yes.
But in a business sense, that's quite an incredible model because they bring the whole Korean team into Victoria in Melbourne, and they base themselves there for the whole season. But the television audience is huge. Over 1 million people watching each Korean game, and they have been the worst performing side for the 2 years that they've been in the competition, yet they still draw those numbers.
And so is the thought process that you won't necessarily get more teams into your league, but you'll basically play like out-of-league games and you'll go into various Asian countries to play?
The great man said it. It's the Bitcoin Cup. You're coming to Perth and we're playing for the Baseball Bitcoin Cup, and there's a team from Japan, a team from Korea, one from Australia, and there could be an invitational team that comes from the Tampa Bay Rays, who are our sister state team here in the US. And we've suddenly got a four-team tournament with international teams, and we're playing for the most prized baseball trophy.
Trophy,
Which is powered by Bitcoin.
So Ohtani grew up in Japan, northern Japan, and it says that, I actually didn't know this, pretty interesting, he wanted to move basically right out of high school straight to the major leagues, and he had received interest from the Rangers, Red Sox, Yankees, obviously the best baseball team, the Dodgers, etc. And he basically said, look, I'm going straight from Japan, I'm turning professional, but he ended up getting drafted anyways by, I'm going to mess this up, so I apologize in advance, but Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters, I guess is one of the Japanese teams. They drafted him anyways. And he actually then negotiated and to stay, played, I don't know how many years, and then went to Major League Baseball. So I think part of the reason why that's fascinating to me is like there's this whole idea of America has a monopoly on the best baseball players. And sure, there's people who want to get to the Major League Baseball, But many of the best Major League Baseball players have spent years. I mean, he spent, it looks like 3-4 years in the Japanese Baseball League before he went. And so you guys as well in your league have seen many, many people play for years there before they end up going to the Major League Baseball or come back right after Major League Baseball.
Well, everyone's journey is different. So, man, just look at the Perth Heat. We've had 31 players who have played for our organization and also played Major League.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a big number. That's like the whole team, right? Yeah. Like if they all play at the same time.
If we look at our partnership with the Tampa Bay Rays, which I value as one of the most prized partnerships in world sport for a team in Australia to be partnering with a major league team.
What do you guys do with them?
So they send us out their 10 best prospects each American winter.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah.
And that partnership's been going for 4 years. We've already had 3 players who've gone on to play major league baseball. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've had Jake Fraley, who's currently with Seattle. Mike Brousseau, whose home run for Tampa knocked out the Yankees in 2020 of the
chill with that. All right, go ahead.
And also Chris Sanchez, who pitched for the Phillies. You know, from here, I'll be heading up to Tampa to catch up, you know, with the Rays organization and talk through. But it's so valuable. The quality of the prospects they send out and the individual that they bring, they add so much to our organization. Mm-hmm. But what we're finding is that this journey to Perth, Australia, is a really big part of their development.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prior to that, back in the late 80s, early 90s, it was with the Orioles. So over 3 decades, we've had 2 organizations.
You dropped the Orioles, you're done with them?
We're done with them at the moment. We're with the Tampa Bay Rays. And what we're seeing is that, we've got a program and a system that the Rays organization trusts, and that's, really powerful. And, we're very grateful for that partnership.
I didn't know where Perth was. So I just looked up on the map, met some people from Perth years ago when I was living out in San Francisco. And I remember being like, Australia, Sydney, right, or Melbourne or whatever. And they're like, no, Perth, like way far away. But I didn't realize it's literally on the other side of the country.
We're like the ugly cousin here on the far side of the country there on the west side.
Yeah.
Most isolated city in the world.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow.
But it's got the country's best baseball team.
Do you guys have to travel when you go play these other teams? It's probably far, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How far is it to go to?
To go to Sydney, 4 hours, Melbourne, 3.5, Brisbane, 5 hours. So there's a lot of travel for the team.
Driving 4 or 5 or flying?
No, flights.
Flight. Oh, yeah. So this is like basically across the United States.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, similar like traveling across the US, a 3-hour time difference.
There's a three-hour time difference too. Damn.
So how big is
Australia?
It's huge.
Australia looked like a little small thing in the ocean. It's like as big as the United States going sideways.
For a team coming out of Perth to win national championships is difficult because you're on the road so much more than the other teams on the East Coast. But good teams win regardless what the conditions are.
But you guys have nice beaches there. I think that's
stunning beaches. Yeah. They're gorgeous.
That's like the big thing is Perth's got the beaches.
Yeah, we got Cottesloe, we got Scarborough, we've got Florey, and then our southwest Margaret River, the wine region, yelling up. It's a stunning place to see, which hopefully we'll get you out to.
We've been talking about
Australian summer,
but I gotta say we gotta come after. I saw some videos.
Everything's gotta calm down a little bit.
We gotta wait till after the craziness is over.
I think we're just about there, but we've been saying that for 2 years.
Yeah, all right. When I see videos of people like, I can walk down through the, I think I saw one where they were walking with like a cup of coffee through the park and they got stopped and like they checked the cup of coffee. I'm pretty sure it was Australia.
To make sure that they had coffee.
Yeah, to make sure that they actually had coffee or something. And I was like, I can't go there.
No, we'll be back to our best.
All right.
And we've got a little hook to get you over to Australia. So
what's the hook?
What's the hook?
The best baseball team in Australia?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Tell them.
What?
Well, it's never been offered to anyone internationally before.
Wait, what is this?
This is something that, on behalf of the organization, we'll get this right on camera here. Oops. We got the wrong jersey here. Take two. Building up the suspense here.
Oh, God.
Here
I'm
we
so
go.
Scared.
Come on.
Take two.
Here we go. Let's go. So this is what Joe misses out when he goes trekking around the world, doesn't he? But
no way!
Here we go.
Let's go!
Will you become our international number one ticket holder?
Number one ticket holder?
Number one ticket holder. Yeah,
I don't even know what that means, but yes, in.
You are in, and I think this will coordinate with some sort of trip throwing the ceremonial first pitch, but here he is.
done.
Our number one international ticker holder, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Perth Heat, the Bitcoin baseball team.
Just throw that to me.
What? Oops. All right, so hold on. First of all, hold on. Rewind. Because look at this. Look, he's tricking me. First, I get this one, and he hands this to me. There's no name on the back. Like, okay, that's fine. 21 million, you know, obviously 21 million Bitcoin. I got it. But this, I might have to wear this just walking around Miami. That's awesome. All right, so now my first question, before I agree to anything, which I already agreed, but what is the international ticket holder? What is that?
Well, yeah.
Like, I'm just the best.
They're the best.
Holder?
Yeah, absolutely. You come to the ballpark, you get the best seats, you get the best service. You are the our international ambassador for the Perth Heat.
Done. I will. And when we get done, we'll take a photo of this and we'll post it on the internet and we'll tell everyone that John's going to sing the national anthem. John's not excited about the national anthem.
You guys don't play the national anthem there.
We do play the national anthem.
Play the Australian national anthem.
The Australian.
And at times
every country's got a national anthem.
I know. But
at times we play the United States one as well, given the number of imports we have. Yeah. So we like to respect that a couple of times throughout the season.
Yeah.
And also play the United States. So
I promise that we're coming. We got to figure out when we're going to do it. And also maybe we'll bring my daughter and Sophia can go see Perth and we'll convince Polina to come. John can go. John will John, you don't know this story, right. But we've told the audience before. John has a history. It's not a habit, but a history of whenever we fly international, the guy just slams Heineken's on the plane.
I don't know what the problem is.
That could be kind
of
fun.
Flight. It's like an 8-hour flight. How far is it from?
It's
15 hours or something like that.
It's probably
just getting to Doha for the transfer, and then another 11. So yeah, you're looking at about 26
hours.
Yeah, 26. Yeah, with a stopover in between.
So you go from East Coast to Doha or somewhere.
Yeah. So on my flight home, I'll be going Miami to Doha. I think that's 13 and a half, a few hour stopover, and then Doha to Perth.
Like another 11 or so.
Yeah.
Man, 26 hours. Yeah, we definitely got to go to a game.
A lot of Heineken's
there. If we're going to fly 26 hours, we definitely got to go to a game.
Well, I'll get the chairman to fire up the boat, and we're away.
You guys got a boat?
The chairman does.
Oh, who's the chairman? What's he doing? We'll go on the boat. We'll do the whole thing. The one of my favorite stories, actually, is Ryan Leslie, who you may not know. There'd be no reason for you to know who he is, but he's a music producer. And so I asked him years ago, I was like, he'd spent a bunch of time with Jay-Z and a number of like very well-known artists. And I said, tell me a story as to like, why are they successful? And he said to me, he goes, let me explain to you. I'm going to tell you a day that I had with Jay-Z. And he said they were in Australia. And I think it was either him or Beyonce or both of them were doing like a special taping of the Oprah show at the Sydney Opera House or whatever, right? So they had some kind of event. And then they went out on a boat and spent a little bit of time together for the day, came back. He had to do some work, ate dinner. And they went and in the living room, they set up the recording equipment. And so the way that I remember the story, him telling it was like, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And he was Jay-Z, right? like it's not like he was, just starting out. He had already known Beyonce, all this stuff. And he was still working at like 2:30 in the morning and he was recording. And Ryan Leslie, I think, either said something to him or Jay-Z said something, or at some point it came up that like, you're Jay-Z, but you're still working. And he was like, ain't nobody going to ever catch me. He's like, because there's nobody's going to do this. And I always think about, I don't know why I have that story. And because it was in Australia and I have it like associated with Australia. It's like, man, Australia is dope.
Yep.
Right. And our brother went, Vince went to Australia.
Yeah.
Right.
When he loves the Vegemite in Australia.
Not one of my favorite spreads.
One of or not one?
No.
One of? Yeah, me either. Yeah.
Why'd you answer first? He's going to be ready to murder him for saying that. No, the thing that I remember is that he came back. He went when he was like a teenager. I'm like, I don't know, some kind
people
of program. Yeah, some program or something. And And he came back, he's telling us all about Australia. And we were like, yeah, cool, man. Thanks for the invite, you know, whatever. But he had, what is the Aborigine, I think?
The didgeridoo.
The tube thing?
Yeah, the big didgeridoo.
My parents hated that thing because this dude was blowing into the didgeridoo and he wasn't good at it, but he was trying.
He was trying, yeah. It's not easy to get the right sounds out of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. That is like the musical instrument, right?
Yeah, that's the native musical instrument. And yeah.
All right, so let's talk... obviously, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on around the world. The Russia-Ukraine stuff with crypto and Bitcoin. I saw that it's like $4 million now that's been donated to the Ukrainian armed forces. Also, I saw that some of the centralized, I think it was Patreon maybe, froze a bunch of assets that was designated for some of them. And then the Ukrainian national television was playing instructions on how to create Molotov cocktails, right? They're like, hey, you got to fight back. They're handing out guns to people. There's a pizza place in Ukraine that's giving out free pizza to anyone that shows up and shows the weapon that they're going to use to fight the Russian. I mean, it's like crazy stuff, right? But it's war. What's your general read on like... maybe the situation, but also just like Bitcoin's role in these types of situations being like a censorship resistant technology?
Well, we saw it first with the Canadian truckers, didn't we? And, mm-hmm. and the influence it had in Ottawa. And now we're seeing it in a different role in war. Mm-hmm. So in the space of 2 weeks, its ability to transact in different ways is showing, the outside world or people not involved with Bitcoin, how it can have value and how it can be used as a global monetary network. What we're seeing in obviously Russia and the Ukraine at the moment is heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It's confronting, and if we could stop it right now, we would love to. Yeah,
ideally.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So, how can Bitcoin play a role? And if we can continue to donate in ways that so far has raised $4 million, and then fantastic. And if we can support communities with Bitcoin, fantastic.
Yeah. I was on a call this morning. There was a couple of people who run Bitcoin or crypto companies. Mm. And multiple people said, hey, we have folks that we work with, whether they're partners, employees, contractors, whatever, that are in Ukraine. And each of them, kind of briefly mentioned, we've instructed our employees on how to store Bitcoin. We've sent them some Bitcoin, and they're like literally leaving the country right now. Another guy said that he actually had a pretty large, it sounded like employees. They were like, they're literally driving to the Polish border right now, right? And like, we're helping them. And so it's this weird thing where there's a lot of ties from Ukraine to the technology world, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing... the Bitcoin community in these situations, whether it's Canada, whether it's Ukraine, elsewhere, there's just something about like Bitcoiners helping Bitcoiners, right? And it feels like that is,
absolutely.
And it feels like there's just something about this like loose connection of people who all have a similar vision of the world. And in these situations, the global audience steps in and tries to help.
Yeah, without doubt, if you just look at our baseball team, as soon as we've adopted the Bitcoin standard, we have plugged into the Bitcoin community, and everyone we have spoken to has wanted to help. You look at some of those images of the lines at the ATM machines and people trying to take their cash out. How many won't be able to transact the money that they've saved in those accounts? Mm-hmm. One of the best things I loved about Bitcoin as I was starting to go down the rabbit hole was the fact that I could walk over borders. As long as I knew my words, I could take as much as I wanted to. It always fascinated me traveling, over the years that you're only allowed to have $10,000 in your pocket out of Australia. That's the single most amount you're allowed to have.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Same with the United States.
Yeah, $10,000. Yet now I can take my Bitcoin anywhere and nobody knows. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is even with what its price is at and how it's managed to hold its position over the last 48, 72 hours as well. If there was going to be a test for Bitcoin again, you start a war and let's see what happens with the price. And right now we're seeing real strength in the value of Bitcoin because there hasn't been any huge volatility with the price at all which, yeah,
I went on television this morning and they asked me yesterday, hey, will you come on tomorrow morning? And Bitcoin was, had gone down 3 or 4%, right? So, I genuinely think that they're trying to figure it out. Right? They're trying to understand, hey, what's going on? Let's bring on people that have opinions and we'll kind of sift through it. And right before I went to bed last night, I looked and I was like, oh, Bitcoin was up, 8-9%. I was like, all right, I got a little more firepower going into the conversation.
Absolutely.
If it's down 3 or 4%, right?
Yeah, there's people waiting for it to trip up really, you know? And a war's generally a time when you see stocks crash, but is Bitcoin? No, we're actually now seeing the strength of it in the way that the world can transact and it can help communities like the Ukraine and people throughout there, which is fantastic.
I mean, yeah, it was let's see, at 5:30 or so yesterday morning Eastern time. It was sitting, kind of $34,000 or so, $34,500, $34,700, and now it's at $39,300. Like it's up, 12-13% over the last 24-48 hours. And if you look at, let's see, gold. Gold, I think, is, before I say anything, let me check. Yeah, it's down. It's down again. 1-2%. Which is interesting though, because actually when the conflict started, it was opposite. Gold went up and Bitcoin went down. That's right. And then it feels like once people realize after about 12 hours or so, like, okay, here's what's going on, they reversed. And so like, I don't know what to read into that, but it's fascinating to watch.
Maybe people have worked out you can't cross the borders holding gold bars.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it's like we all joke about it to some degree, but like one, true. Two is I think that also you start to realize that like gold, even if it quote unquote works, it's going to stay flat. Right. Like there isn't going to be some 300% increase in the US dollar value of gold. Bitcoin is different. Now, Bitcoin can go down or go up, but there's more volatility to the asset. Yes. And so if gold and Bitcoin both work, right? So forget an either or world, they both serve as sound money. One's physical, one's digital. In that scenario, you're going to want to have the one that's more volatile, right? Because they're both working. And so I do think that it's this very, just a really interesting way to kind of look at this. And then you get into this idea of like, printing trillions of dollars woke everyone up to there's only 21 million. Confiscating it from truckers woke everyone up to like, the inability to confiscate it. Now you get financial sanctions wakes everyone up to censorship resistance. Like the world just kind of continues to get orange pilled over time, right?
It's been a great 2 weeks of marketing for Bitcoin, really, or or month in terms of the globe understanding how it works and in different formats as well. Obviously, there's no company or CEO behind Bitcoin, but what we've seen is that it's marketing itself. Yeah, mm-hmm. Canada's been a huge player in that.
Justin Trudeau's the CMO of Bitcoin right now.
He's done beautifully for us, hasn't he? In a roundabout sort of way.
Yeah,
and
we should all thank him. Actually,
if we can somehow, but and with what we're seeing in the Ukraine now, is also another way of understanding how Bitcoin works globally in different markets and communities and at different times in world moments.
The technology clearly works and has use cases, as we've seen over the last few months. How do you think about the price volatility and holding Bitcoin on your guys' balance sheet and everything that goes along with like paying players to not kind of take that price volatility if it has a massive drawdown like it had in the last few months?
I always say zoom out, it's only heading to one corner, isn't it? We feel the strength of your organization will be hodling Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. If we can continue to hodl Bitcoin, and there was an example. I spoke in Sacramento at Bitcoin Day last week, and I was speaking about how all our partnerships moving forward, we would like to either be paid in Bitcoin or convert into Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Now, if we hodl that Bitcoin, say we've got 25 Bitcoin from 2022, about $1 million. Mm-hmm. What will that be worth in 10 years' time? Will one Bitcoin be worth $1 million? So will we suddenly have $25 million on our corporate treasury? But that's just 1 year out of 10 years. We've still got another 9 years of stacking to go from there. And that will be the strength of the organization. And we can't lose. It's to the rest of the competition. Try and catch us. You think you can win championships? with this sort of corporate treasury that we've got, with this strategy that we've had since 2022, I just cannot see how any other team in the Australian Baseball League will be able to compete. And people say, yeah, but you've got operating expenses. Yes, we do. But those operating expenses will be covered from things like merchandise, ticketing, memberships, concession stands. If we can cover our operating expenses through those revenue streams and continue to hodl our partnerships, then we're in a really good position come 10 years' time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's no-brainer. How can people help you?
Oh, in so many ways. Yeah, certainly the Bitcoin community in terms of organisations, we want to partner with them. We said when we spoke on the show the first time, we're not a shitcoin sports team. Yeah. And
that's actually what the name of the team now is, Perth Heat. We're not a shitcoin sports team.
Exactly. But we only want to partner with Bitcoin focused companies. And we've had the big exchanges come after us and we've had to say no. And that's been part of the education to the board as to how it works and who we're going to partner with. So certainly we want to continue working with Bitcoin only companies, and for fans and members or people around the globe, you can jump on our website. And you can purchase merchandise, you can purchase memberships. Globally.
So people could basically get...
online. We've just had the second shipment that's come through from New Balance. They are online and they're available to be shipped immediately.
New Balance paying you in Bitcoin?
They're not at the moment. It's certainly...
previous deal,
One of our partners, we would like to do more with.
What's the conversion of AUD to US dollars?
It's about 71, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, 72 to 1. 72 cents to 1 AUD.
Got it. So it's about 30% less of so if a hat is $50, it's kind of like $35, give or take.
That's right.
Yeah, 36, but.
Yeah, and there's
listen, I don't do public math.
You're close.
But yeah, jump online. We're ready to ship those out. That's global in terms of the network that we've got to distribute. And then we just keep supporting us. Join.
And people are they going to be able to watch the games on the internet
once we start up again?
Yeah.
Which with the 2022-23 season, and that will be the Bitcoin broadcast, and that's where we will integrate.
Sick.
Anything and everyone to do with Bitcoin in a four-hour broadcast. Yep. We can cross to you for a one-hour pre-show if we would like and just speak Bitcoin.
Yep.
It was pretty cool. We met up with CJ Wilson in Sacramento. Yep. He's a two-time All-Star.
Yep.
He's pitched in the World Series twice, 11 years in the major leagues. This is how the Bitcoin community works. We met up. He loves what we're doing.
Yep.
And in a conversation said, wouldn't mind coming out and being part of your organization.
Can you get him to play?
He's been out of the game for a few years, but but you know what?
He's like, I don't know.
He can add a lot.
I bet you he's still got a nasty fastball.
It'd be pretty cool. But he was speaking about maybe joining our pitching staff. Yeah, and how cool is that? Once we've joined the network, we've now aligned ourselves with someone who's played 11 years at the highest level, over 1,200 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. That can only improve our organisation.
Yeah,
and that's where some of the people who haven't understood what this whole process is about go, how does it work? Well, that's how it works, just in one way of so many ways. We've now got CJ Wilson offering to help our ball club.
Yeah.
And that's only going to better our bullpen, our younger players coming through, and anyone within our organisation, that we've had someone play at the elite level and can educate us in so many different aspects of baseball, but also running an organisation.
Yeah.
I firmly believe you can learn off anyone in any capacity,
Completely agree.
Absolutely. So, our broadcast will be phenomenal. We've got some ideas and I'll share one with you. So you got the home run fence,
Yeah.
And there's different ways we can now integrate people in different parts of the world into competitions. So we may have our international number one ticket holder's face right up there behind the home run fence.
That's me, John.
We may be able to get Michael Saylor's face up there as well.
Uh-huh.
We may be able to get, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And if a home run is crunched and it hits one of your faces, well, that can support the Bitcoin community in so many different ways.
Ah, interesting.
So we've got the game of baseball happening. We've got players being...
gamified a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's bring the fans into the ballpark as well. We appreciate that not everyone worldwide will be able to come to Perth to watch the Bitcoin baseball team, but there's so many ways...
ticket holder will.
Absolutely. Front and centre, right behind home plate. But there's different ways that we can now integrate fans and the network into a game of baseball. And we're controlling this broadcast.
Yep.
So many teams would love the ability to be able to control what they put out.
It's like the Yes Network for the Yankees, but better.
But better, yeah. So some really cool things are working through. Do we put like a QR code on the back of a player? Mm-hmm. And is the way that people can scan through that, and maybe a partner can give free Bitcoin to people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'd like to experiment and have some fun with that. Obviously, taking what our focus is, which is winning championships.
Yep.
Yeah, I love winning more than anyone.
Yeah. You know what our dad used to tell us? He still tells us. He used to say all the time, he goes, listen, we'd like finish up with like a practice, a game or something. He would just say, listen, all this nonsense they're telling you, whatever. He goes, there's nothing more fun than winning.
It's the best.
I just, for whatever reason, I always remember that. I say, yeah, that is true. Nothing more fun than winning.
Absolutely. Since I've been with the organization, we've lost 2 championship series in 3 seasons. And we need some rings on our fingers. And the focus is always on producing baseballers and winning championships, the Claxon Shield. But a big part of our business is integrating with Bitcoin and how can we work with the community to improve the education, but also taking it to different parts of the world, which, we've got Twitter Space at the moment, we've got these great podcasts, but how also can we connect with different generations of fans right around the world through sport, because it's got the power to connect and to inspire, and we think we've got a really wonderful chance to do that.
For sure.
Well, the idea, I believe, of like plugging into the Bitcoin standard is not only the monetary, hey, you can send payments this way, the price appreciation, you get the capital appreciation on your balance sheet, appreciation or depreciation, depending on the timeline and how you look at it. But obviously all of us here think appreciation. And then you tap into the community, right? Yeah. Where CJ Wilson, you have guys that are coming in and saying, hey, I like what you guys are doing. How can I help?
Absolutely.
And it just broadens your guys' reach outside of Perth and outside of Australia in general, globally, right?
Without doubt. You look at our merchandise sales and what we've been able to achieve since we launched our position on November 17. What we'd previously done in 3 years of international sales, 3 years, we eclipsed in 4 weeks. Okay. And that's just Bitcoiners around the world saying, I want to buy the jersey, I want to buy the hat, we want to support. It's crazy. 3 years of merchandise sales eclipsed in 4 weeks. And that's
welcome to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I know Pete McCormack said, similar sorts of success with his merchandise with Real Bedford. The more people we have wearing Bitcoin jerseys, hoodies, caps around the globe, the better for the network, the better for the community.
If we go to this, John, by the way, this is a very important detail. I don't need any 50 Cent like first pitch. I don't need a Conor McGregor first pitch. I need you to.
What about a Fauci first pitch?
Don't even get me started. I need you to hit me with the George Bush 9/11. Right down
foot
the
on
pipe,
the rubber, just strike right down
said,
the middle.
He said, I saw a documentary. He said, I knew that I had to throw it. And he says, then if I messed it up, I'd never hear the end of it. He said, I need to throw it right down the middle.
Apparently Jeter told him, he was like, I'm going to throw like from right in front of the mound. Jeter was like, get on the mound.
Yeah, he was like, you'll get booted. Yeah.
The greatest ceremonial first pitch of all time.
Probably of all time, right?
Yeah, and that, the documentary on the ESPN for 30 for 30s is just.
That's what it is.
It's just phenomenal. It's one of the mini ones. It goes for 30 minutes. Wow, what a story.
Yeah, that's why I just need to make sure John knows that we're going George Bush style. We're not going Conor McGregor throwing it off into the
I got to rewatch McGregor's.
McGregor throws it into the state. Like, literally.
He said, I think I remember him saying, it was a rocket, though.
If that's his rocket, gee.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, you threw it hard. Just got in the wrong direction there, buddy. All right, before we let everyone go, what is the website that we should send everyone to?
Well, if you go to our website, which is just pertheat.com.au, or you go to the Bitcoin Perth Heat, there's 2 different ones there, so that we've got the option there. Our main website, then we've also got the additional one, which has got all the merchandise, memberships and tickets for you to purchase as well.
The Bitcoin baseball team. Do you see, John, do you see the attention to detail here?
What's
do you
up?
See what I see? Where's the attention?
Laser eyes on the guy
swinging the bat. Like, come on.
That's our captain, Tim Kennelly, also captain of the Australian team. Wonderful player. The best slugger in the competition.
Really?
Can crunch baseballs.
We'll see. We'll do some batting practice. We'll see what he has. John will throw him some BP. John, that's the only way John throws.
Be meatballs for this guy.
Outfielders back up.
Guy's like,
throw your hardest, John.
Throw a 65-mile-an-hour fastball right down the plate for him.
65 miles an hour, bro. What are you going to throw left-handed? Like, come on, 65?
No, I don't know how fast I could throw. It'd be interesting.
You can't throw
70. Sure. 70, yeah.
I don't know. I've been throwing a baseball.
We're going to get a speed gun out on you. That's what we're going to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
You don't want to get that. 70 is your benchmark. Some people would be embarrassed, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not throwing 90 miles an hour, so.
You're going to be throwing 70 if you're coming to Perth. I don't want anything.
If I got CJ Wilson helping me out, I'll be throwing 100.
All right. If you go into the chat right now, I just dropped Steven's Twitter handle. Make sure that you follow him on there. We appreciate you coming in. Just one more time in case anybody didn't realize I got this now. Yeah, your boy's going to be wearing this on Saturday night at the club. I don't go to the club, but it sounded good. and now we have confirmed that John will be singing the national anthem at a game and throwing out the first pitch left-handed.
Not left-handed.
Yeah. Well, if you throw 65, and we somebody
trying
said
to have Tommy John.
Somebody said rubber arm. You got like a wet noodle going on over there.
Tommy John after one pitch.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're looking to try to transition to get a new job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, we've got you covered. Head over to pompscryptocourse.com. We've developed a curriculum with the top teams across the industry. It's a 3-week intensive training program with over 50 events packed into that 3-week time period. Go to pompscryptocourse.com to learn more, and I'll meet you guys for the next episode.